We have been following the Boston mayoral race closely together on this show, and you've heard us delve into a range of pretty serious issues, from the humanitarian crisis at the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard to police reform. New poll numbers out today from WBUR, the Dorchester Reporter, the Boston Foundation, and the Mass Inc. polling group show that Boston voters also care a whole lot about schools, how they're run, how they're supporting kids in this, the third academic year affected by the pandemic. WBUR education reporter Max Larkin joins us now to tell us more about what we learned. Max, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, Max, dive us right in. Walk us through the main findings.
Yeah, as we reported yesterday, and as you said, the poll shows, you know, education's top of mind for all kinds of voters in Boston this fall. Even voters over 60 or voters without kids in the district want improving schools to be a top priority for the next leaders to take over. And they also want to participate in the change, Tiziana. This is now maybe the second or third poll that has found widespread support for a return to an elected school committee in Boston. We've gone almost 30 years without, as you may recall. But the question is going to be on city ballots in just a few weeks. And then finally, you had a narrow majority saying they see the task ahead as kind of twofold. Yes, schools have to help kids catch up academically, but the majority feels they also have to help those kids who were isolated at home, maybe feeling the effects of lost work or relatives getting sick. They have to help them recover personally, emotionally, and socially.
Those are pretty clear marching orders, Max. Did anything surprise you in these findings?
Yeah, I think the surprising outcome for me is that near consensus about moving to an elected committee. Granted, it's, you know, 60-something percent of the vote. There are still a lot of voters undecided on the matter, but it would be a big change. And if the poll were held today, or the ballot question, it seems like that question would pass, and maybe even easily.
So lots of ways that these numbers were sliced and diced, right? Very thorough demographic breakdowns, not just age, gender, race, also income levels, neighborhood, whether a person owns or rents a home, if they have kids in school, even how they voted in the preliminary election for mayor. So did we see differences in attitudes across the different groups?
Yeah, as you note, Tiziana, you know, the crosstabs are always fascinating.
Love
where the different
stuff.
Groups are sort of broken down. But the surprise here was the consistency across all of these different groups, whether or not you like or don't like Governor Baker, whether you're voting for Michelle Wu or Anissa Asabi George, the song was pretty much the same. You had a, you know, big majority saying schools need help. They have their work cut out for them as they try to help kids recover. And, you know, we may want to look in terms of a chance to choose our school committee members.
All right. So to review, three big questions. How important are schools? Do you want an elected school committee? What's the focus of helping kids? Let's break them down a little bit more. Where do you think this overwhelming support for improving schools overall comes from? I noted you said even if you're over 60, even if you don't have kids, you want this.
Yeah, I think some of it's really earned. Any of us who are parents know it's not easy to see your kid in a mask. It's not easy to send your kid off to an environment that you don't know whether or not it's safe. And you know that there's kind of this sort of penumbra of anxiety around it in any event. And that's maybe showing up in this information and in some of the interviews we've done since the results were released. But then I think we've also heard and ourselves broadcast a lot on the academic and personal losses that kids have suffered. And there, you know, there is a sense of, I don't want to say panic because that seems sort of dismissive, but there seems to be an ambient anxiety that perhaps kids got the worst of the pandemic, even though they were hospitalized in far more limited numbers than much older people.
So I want to, Max, go back because you said the biggest surprise to you was this support for an elected school committee. I don't know what numbers I was expecting, but the numbers did surprise me, too. What do you think's going on there? Now, and you also, I want to remember, you noted this isn't the first time we've seen this in a poll.
Yeah, I think the appointed committee has its virtues, right? That you can have people who might be academics, lawyers, community leaders, and might not have the time or inclination to run, a straightforward political campaign. But I do think that lots of people, you know, note that Boston is the only municipal district in the state that does it this way. And some of them are like, well, why don't I get to vote for this too? Rosani Sanabria is an East Boston resident and a BPS graduate. And for her, it's just common sense. You get the parent voice in the form of the vote, and that makes for an organic connection to the people who are running the district.
I still would like them to have the kind of the basic requirements that anybody in that position should have, that they could theoretically still get the job done. But I think it's important that the parents have a little bit more of a personal say and they have a vote for it. That way we keep them accountable.
Tiziana, I looked at the vote 30 years ago that made this change. It was narrow, very, very narrow. And so there does seem to just be a reflex. You know, we like voting. We like a chance to choose who represents us. Why? Maybe as simple as that in some ways.
So speaking of surprises, Max, I guess I expected that people would come down heavily on either schools need to focus on catching up academically or schools need to help kids socially, emotionally. But a slim majority said it's got to be both. So what have you heard from parents on this?
Yeah, that's true. On balance, it feels like parents, maybe myself or yourself included, we're asking a lot of schools, you have to be both the instructor, the catch-up agent, and the sort of caretaker. And yet we've sort of always asked that. That being said, Tiziana, there was a healthy minority that wants schools to just focus on the academic piece. Sean Barrett of South Boston spoke for that group, saying, in effect, parents know how to handle the more intangible parts of their kids' recovery.
If the kids are going to school and working on academics and doing what they're supposed to do, I think that other things will fall in line. My son is having some mental health issues himself, but I think the place to address that is with their physicians in the appropriate setting.
And yet, I think it's worth also hearing an educator's view here, Tiziana. Paula Cantor is a BPS parent. She lives in Mattapan, but she also teaches in the Randolph Public Schools, which was relatively hard hit in some ways. And so she says she's sort of seeing up close what a turbulent experience this past year or 18 months have been for middle school age kids, and that those kids, you know, have felt an impact and yet may not themselves know that they need a little support to getting back to normal.
Yeah, it's intense. And I don't think the kids even necessarily realize how intense it's really been. Like, they know it probably in their mind, but they don't really know how to process it or talk about it. Sometimes, especially middle school kids, they don't want to talk about it because they're just kind of like, I'm done with it. It's over, blah, blah, blah. But I do think it has to be processed.
There's this sense, you know, of an invisible toll. And anyone who has contact with kids, you know, and maybe has seen a spectrum of different kids' reactions to the pandemic, you know, realizes that there's some healing to be done there, too.
So, you know, as I noticed, Max, the unified importance of schools to people who voted for both of the now final candidates for mayor. I was thinking about the WBZ televised debate last night. I was watching it, and the moderator, John Keller, was really pushing Wu and Asaibe George to differentiate themselves, to point out the differences, saying their positions seem pretty similar. And that was striking given the similar support across their supporters for schools. Are there any fault lines for the voters here at all?
Yeah, I think perhaps we are suffering from having, you know, asked pretty general questions as a way of taking the temperature, when I know and you know that the devil's in the details with a lot of these issues having to do with one's children and the way the society and education are structured. You know, things flare up and parents get easily polarized around them. I spoke to Dan Barkin, who lives in Roslindale, and he was one of the few who explicitly opposed this idea of moving back to an elected school committee, in part because of that concern. Let's hear
and
that.
I would just be worried that the school committee, in a weird way, would no longer reflect what the city of Boston wants and aspires to, because turnout could be really low. And the issues are sort of asymmetrical in how much they fire folks up.
I think Barkin raised interesting points, Tiziana, saying, you know, think about critical race theory or mask mandates. These are things that have become kind of screaming matches that we wouldn't necessarily have anticipated even 12 or 18 months ago. I also note that lots of Asian parents came out against this move made in the last few months to reduce the importance of standardized testing in exam school admissions. Now, per this poll, that community overwhelmingly favors a move to an elected school committee. But, you know, they may want and expect that committee to do very different things from some of their neighbors. And so there is, you know, maybe some ambivalence or disagreement hiding in the apparent consensus.
So schools are important, but the devil, as you said, is in the details, Max.
It has to be a concrete issue. And then once that emerges, you get to really have the debate.
All right, so let's zoom out. Boston is set to receive $400 million in federal pandemic money. What do we know about plans for that money? And I'm curious, and whether you know, are those plans reflective of the priorities that we heard from voters in this poll?
I think so. The district has tried to do a drawn-out sort of public-facing process about the so-called ESSER funds, the federal relief for schools. The district just applied earlier this month for the last and largest part of that federal relief. I think it's $270 million or so. And they're going to try to spread that money around. So there's $20 million for facilities, $37 million for staffing to help with students with disabilities and English learners, and then athletics, nurses, guidance counselors. There is a hope that I'm sure that this can be a sort of transformative investment in the district, but it is a diverse district, and it may be that some of the goals that individual families have might not be met. The hope is just that you reach almost everyone by distributing it around.
So lastly, Max, you know, we did this poll in the context of a mayoral race, elections in 2.5 weeks. What are you watching for between now and then?
I would say historically, these two candidates that we're looking at have had different philosophies, differences of opinion with regard to how the school district should be run. Should there be more investment or more sort of accountability type measures? As I think I mentioned, Asabi George opposed the elected committee when we asked her about it. I'm really hoping that in more debate, more interviews, that little bit of daylight can emerge so that parents who are preoccupied with education will get to make more of an informed kind of discrete selection. We'll have to see.
All right. Max Larkin, WBUR education reporter. We will follow along with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.